This morning, I'm really happy to be standing before you and to talk together. This is going to be a little bit different message in that I want to talk to you today about being on mission. And so we're going to revisit some things about what it is that makes us a church, why we are a church, and your part in what God is doing and wants to do among us. So we're going to be talking about on mission. Some of you have heard that phrase, hey, stay on mission, stay on task, get on point, and you understand what that means. And so this is where we want to go this morning is we talk together, okay? I guess that's the best way that I can say it. And trust that you will be encouraged and find the Lord saying some things even to you this morning in this message. But I want to begin by reading a couple of passages of Scripture. A couple of passages of Scripture more than I usually read, but I think it's important to set the table with a number of things because of the things we're going to be talking about. The first is from Proverbs chapter 29. It's in the Old Testament, Proverbs. Proverbs 29, and this is a very famous Scripture verse, Proverbs 29:18, and it's a good one to let sink in, and this is going to become somewhat of the catalyst of what where we're wanting to go today as we set sail and about to embark out of the harbor here into some open waters this morning and talking about mission. But here in Proverbs 29, it says, without a vision, people perish. Very simple. Without a vision, people perish. Okay? And then turn back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 25. Keep it in mind, without a vision, people perish. If you don't know, someone has said, I think this is from Lewis Carroll, Alice in Wonderland, right? Some of you know about that. But if you don't know where you're going, what? 35. Yes, 25. No one knows? Well, I'll tell you then. Huh?
You don't know where you've been.
You don't know where you've been. I think that's a part of it. But he says, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. You don't know where you're going. And so this whole idea of vision is having an understanding of where you're going. Yeah, and George, you're absolutely right. It does, even if you've looked on the front the front of the bulletin today in regards to vision and mission, the past has something to do with it. Hey, you know where you're coming from. And more importantly, know where you're going. And if you don't have a clue, if you don't have a vision of what's up with your life, what's going on in your life, who are you, where are you going, what's your life about, what's your purpose about, well, then you just kind of live aimlessly. And it really doesn't bring any kind of fulfillment. It can't bring any kind of fulfillment to your life. And so that's the idea there in Exodus chapter 25. Okay, Exodus 25 and verse 8. We have the beginning of the story of God giving vision to his people, the children of Israel. And by saying that, we can apply that. We can superimpose that onto our lives. You could superimpose this onto your life. God brings vision. He brings purpose into our lives. And as he began doing this with the people, his chosen people, Israel, the first thing he set up for them is everything that had to do with their relationship with him. And that's what this verse is about, their relationship with him. And he wanted them to signify that relationship with him, worship, by building a place of worship. How it was that they were going to know God. How it is that they were going to worship God. How it is that they were going to walk with God. How their lives were to be ordered. That included everything from their work to their relationship with their kids. Everything was involved in that and can be seen in this scripture verse. This is where it all begins. And he says in verse 8, he says, let them make me a sanctuary, Let them make a sanctuary for me. Everything begins with God. And he says, let him make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. So we get this whole feel for this thing of our connection to God. Life not only goes better with God, it can't work unless it's with God. And this is how it started. This is how we continue in this kind of thing. And he says, let them make me a sanctuary. Now, when it comes to worship, because this is what we're getting into here, we understand, we've talked a lot about this in the past, and it bears reiterating that it's worth it to say it again, that what we're about is his presence. His presence. Knowing God among us. And this is what he says to them. But let them make me a place that I'm comfortable with, God says. And it's an amazing statement, that I can dwell among them. Now, here's the thing that I want to draw our attention to. He says, make this tabernacle and all its furnishings, here it is now, exactly like the pattern I will show you. You look over in verse 20, or chapter 26 and verse 39, he repeats the refrain I just read, and he says, set up the tabernacle according to the plan shown you on the mountain. So this whole idea with vision, this whole idea with mission, as we're connecting the dots here, is that God has a plan for your life and mine. And life works with that plan. It really does work. And the key is following that plan, knowing what that vision is, knowing what that purpose is. And he is careful. And as you read through these chapters, there's a lot of detail. Some of you, I know, when you come to these chapters in Exodus and then Leviticus, it's like, and just skip over. It's like, oh, that detail. What is that all about? Well, one of the things that's about is that God doesn't skip over anything. You know, we have this saying, remember the saying, who's in the details? No, God's in the details. That was a trick. But yeah, we say that, don't we? But we have to see that he's in the detail of our lives, of your lives. And that's, if anything, what it shows us. But listen, God has a plan. But we have to hear what's being said here. And what's being said is, you got to stick to the plan, Stan. He has a plan for your life. It's ordered out. God has, he said, listen, here it is. This is for your life. Man, if you plug into this, it's going to be worthwhile. Okay? Then Matthew, I want to kind of switch gears a little bit, but still we'll be connecting the dots. Matthew chapter 28. And this is, Jesus has risen from the dead. We're going to be celebrating that in just a few weeks, the resurrection of Christ on Easter Sunday morning. Always an exciting time, celebration. But Jesus has risen from the dead. And in that, Jesus has done salvation for us. He has brought us to understand what it means to be people of God in the world in which we live. And he says, now listen, I got a job for you guys to do. He says, pretty much, pass it on. Pass it on. Pass it on. Or we could say, in popular parlance, what? Pay it forward. And this is what Jesus is virtually saying here at the end of Matthew's gospel. We call it the great commission. This is what we're about. This gives us identity. This gives us purpose. In general terms, there's lots of details that go into this. But man, we got to get this in general terms. We got to see the big picture so that we could understand some of the details in it. And so he says, pay it forward. He says in verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, everything that's needed to accomplish this mission is well in hand. I got it under control, and I'm there for you. And then he says to them, therefore go, make disciples of all nations, of every people group, of all different ethnicities. Go and make disciples amongst them. Go make them followers of me. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So this is the big picture of the commission. We call it the Great Commission that has been given to us. And that we as a church here at Wolcott Christian Life Center, how many of you didn't see the new sign as you came up? Some of you didn't even notice it, did you?
Nice colors.
Thank you. Cliff didn't notice it, that I know there. I won't make, don't write. The letters are, you can really see it, can't you? You can see it. It matches our website. So they were trying to stay consistent of people identifying who we are. But I think the sign is wonderful. And so we here at Wolcott Christian Life Center, we are mandated into this commission right here. You say, anybody ask you, well, what do you do as a church? Who are you? You can bring them to the scripture verse. Now, this isn't in detail fashion because it's got to be tailored to who we are, to where we are, 481 Wolcott Road. But at the same time, this is who we are. This is what we are. We're a part of this right here, this scripture verse that I just read. In no uncertain terms, this is what we're a part of. This is what we're after. This is this is who we are, and this is what we're becoming more of. Are you with me on this? Somebody say something.
Amen.
Thank you. Better amen than oh me. So, and then just the last scripture verse, okay? The last scripture. It's always amazing, you know. Take some time. You say, oh man, you're going to take all the... I know the way some of you think. I won't mention any names, but my son Bobby, boy, he's taking a lot of time reading scripture verses. Then he's got to say something. We're going to be here till after 12. I know we are. I'm going to slap him. And so, but now we're going to get through this quickly. But the point is that isn't it amazing how the Bible has a way of preaching all by itself? You know? Just get into the Word, and there's something about it all by itself getting into you. And so that's what we're doing this morning, and reading a couple more passages of Scripture than we usually do, perhaps, but Ephesians chapter 4. Now, once again now, Ephesians chapter 4 adds a little bit of detail to Matthew chapter 28. A little bit of detail. Because in this chapter, chapter 4, in these verses, he's talking about the church, and in particular, the writer of this letter, Paul, is talking to some people in Ephesus, city in Asia Minor, and Christians there, church there, whatever road they were on, plopping down as a church, and he's given them some details about how it is that they're a church. How it is that they're involved in the mission. And how it is that they can stay on mission with what God has given them to do. And in particular now, funneling it down to a very general statement, you know, the church, who we are. But now you can see yourself in this. Because you're there. Your name is written all over this. And I'd like to start reading at verse 11, if you would help me just work through a couple of scripture verses and let the Bible say some things to us. It says, it was he, that is to say it was God, through Jesus Christ, who gave some to be leaders in the church. And he mentioned those leaders. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, we're pretty familiar with pastors. We're pretty familiar with evangelists. We understand teachers. But this designation also includes apostles and prophets. It's not my intention to talk about that. But just for us to see that some of the detail that goes into we as a church, we as a people, staying on mission has a lot to do with leadership. It really does. Now, one of the things that we have to be careful with about leadership is this. Every leader is only as good as he or she is a follower. You know, that kind of keeps leaders, at least in the church, from becoming the big cheese. You know, the big tomato, right? And you all know what the big tomato said to the little tomato, right? Catch up. So, I'm sorry. But anyways. Anyways. Come on. Give me a break. Anyways, these are servants that God has given to help, watch now, to help us fulfill the mission that God has given to us. Okay? And he says this. He says, these are given to prepare God's people for works of service. I want you to follow this. What's the objective? What's going on in the church? To help God's people. Now notice it doesn't say that the leaders do the works of service. Now they're there. But notice it doesn't say that. What it says is that, you know, it's like a coach on the basketball team. Poor Behan yesterday, right? Poor guy. And what the heck was up with that? I don't know. But anyways, it's like, you know, the coach, he's got a team out there. We understand these things. And this is how it goes. And it's, again, it's not my intention to talk about these things, but notice the objective. I want to stay on task of my message this morning, or we will be here to where Bobby is up and leaving. So, he says, to prepare. He says, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So when you have God's people doing what they're supposed to be doing, there's a building up of this thing. Man, there's growth in this thing. And he says, until we all reach the unity of in the faith, in the knowledge of Son of God, and become mature. So you get this sense of, man, we're going someplace. It's forward here. You see? And the whole idea of forward movement is we're becoming something. We're not just on any old road here. We're not aimless about it. No, we're on mission. We're going someplace. There's a maturity here. The knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Man, that's a big bill to fill. And we're a part of that. We have to feel that. He says, then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there by every wind of doctrine. But, and then he says, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. We're not going to fall prey to the scammers who call fishing for information. It's amazing the lengths that they've gone. The latest on there, see where the guy got trapped? They called him from his bank and they actually had his last three statements. And he ended up giving them money and they siphoned money out of his account. Fell prey to it. I've gotten calls. Hi, Mr. Rulowitz. So-and-so, I'm calling in regards to your Honda Accord. Hey, got my attention, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I said, where are you calling from? Who and what company are you with? Well, I'm with the Honda company. I'm not kidding you. I'm with the... It's like, yeah, right. Why don't we just cut to the chase? Why don't I just give you my Social Security number right now and we'll get it over with? And it's like, goodbye. You know? And it's like, we have to see that that God wants us to grow up, that we don't fall prey to that kind of stuff. Spiritual stuff. Life stuff. That we don't fall prey to it. But that we stay on mission to, it said you're going to see yourself in this, personal growth. What is my place in the mission? How do I grow? What do I need to know about the knowledge of God so that I don't get sucked into or so that I'm not just a child when it comes to understanding these things? That's what's going on here, folks.
And he said, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every, I love this now, by every supporting ligament, grows, builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now notice, there you are right there. Your name's written all over that. As each part does its work, you're there and you got a part to play. Okay. Jesus, bless your word to our hearts and glorify your name. And so what I want to say to you, three things today. And that the first is this. We as a church have a mission to fulfill. We do. We're here on special assignment from God. And we have to feel that. Now, we've been working at it as a church. It certainly happened before I came on the scene. In 1955, this church, of course, was dedicated to the Lord. And it's been going on since then, no doubt. And I can relate, of course, more closely to my arrival. In this coming year, we'll be 5 years already. Incredible. But we've been working at it and experiencing growth and doing those things that we talk about is doing church. And the way in which we are endeavoring to work with people and see all of those things come to pass that we speak of in our mission. We have Camp Gilead that goes on as well, that we as a church have spearheaded. And Camp Gilead is just, you know, growing leaps and bounds. And we are able to reach out. Young people, youth rallies that we have done, and we've been the catalyst for that kind of thing. And working with young lives, and we are involved in missions, different places around the world, and just mentioning those things really quick, that's no small thing for a small church, you know, and so we have a mission, and some of you see it every week in the bulletin, and our mission here, and it's stated, and we have. Core values that reflect a little bit more of what we mean by, you know, we want to encourage people to love God and to love other people. And that's kind of broad, but it's simple, and it entails the first and second commandments, doesn't it? You know the Ten Commandments. They used, according to Mel Brooks, they were 15, but he dropped one, and oops, now 10. That's a funny thing, Don. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But anyways, we understand that. And then their core values. You know, and look at them for a moment with me. This is what our mission is about as a church. To learn and practice the Word of God. We are nothing except that we're, unless if we're not building on the Word of God. And so we come and we want to encourage each other to get into the Word. And we want this to be a place where the Word of God is being taught and where we are learning the word. And more than just being hearers of the word only, we want to put it into practice. I like what Eugene Peterson says. He says that Christianity is as much about feet as it is eyes and ears. You know, what we see and what we hear. It's about Christianity is about feet. And so this is what we go for. This is what we want to go for. The word of God is central. The dedication influence the world with the gospel. And what we mean by that is right here in our own community, around the world, that the gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives. A spirit-filled style of worship. That our worship, when we're touching God in worship, the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Spirit are at work among us. And a focus on grace and integrity and a sense of humor. You know, we've said that we're the perfect church for imperfect people. And you can't have that unless you have the grace of God at work. It isn't long before two or three come together. You know, you say two or three come together, and there I am in the midst of them.
Two or three come together and you have a problem in the midst of them. Because people are imperfect. And you say, what's the remedy? What's the glue that holds grace? Grace. And grace isn't letting everything fly, because the next one is integrity. And this is a place where we value integrity. Integrity in the lives of our people. Integrity in leadership. Integrity in the way we handle relationships. Integrity in the way in which we handle our finances. Integrity. There's a lot to be said for integrity, isn't there? A lot to be said for it. Integrity. That we are not a people who are slipshod when it comes to doing things right. A sense of humor. Come on. Hey, stop that. You're in church now. Well, absolutely. We understand some of that. And it's not, it's not to make light of things. But at the same time, there ought to be a particular joy. That, come on. Even in the dreariest and darkest of times, there ought, why? I'm telling you. Because we don't grieve as the world grieves. Why? We have a hope. In Christ. How many of you have seen the people grieving over the Malaysian airliner that went down? Horrific, isn't it? An absolutely horrific situation. And it's like you grieve for those people who are grieving. And you can't help but wonder, wow, don't they have a hope in Christ? Don't they have a hope in God? Their hope is all in the Malaysian government. How sad. But we do. And because of that, there could be a lightness about us, a good humor about it. God's got it, man. He's got it. He's got it. Small groups to foster friendship and family and community, a commitment to prayer and intercession. These are bedrock to a devotion to develop Christian maturity and leadership and a practicing of the presence of God and the miraculous. God's with us. And listen, you know what? We believe that there are things that, man, we just got to go through. But I'm thankful for the miraculous. God working miracles. God has a plan for us. He has a plan for you. Now, a part of that mission, a part of accomplishing that mission, is having a place to do it from. Take a look around. This is the place that we have to do the mission from, to stay on mission in. Don't look around too closely yet. But anyways. And so there's no question about it, okay? We are God's house. We are people of God. And this is always our emphasis. But there is something real about the place where God's people meet. It is something real about referring to that place as a sanctuary, referring to that place as God's house, because it's the place where God's people meet. Something very real about that. We see it in Scripture over and over again. And as I said, this place was dedicated in 1955 to being a church to the glory of God by people who had a heart for the gospel and a heart for the kingdom. And so here we are now in 2014. That's not hard for me to do the math, because I was born in 1955. Let's see, that's what, 40? Right? I told you, 40. Yeah, 41, thank you, sorry. And, and so here we are to continue. We've been talking about rededicating our lives to Christ and how God brings us to that place time and again. And you can almost look at this message as a call now to us as a church to have that idea. You know what? We're coming again as a church. We're refocusing on who we are, that we might stay on mission. And we are saying, yes, we dedicate ourselves again to staying on that mission to which we are called to as a church. And so we've been working hard in this place to keep us online, as we say these days, you know. And you see the fruits of it downstairs. And it's such a marvelous thing, is, you know, I've reflected time and again to see the way in which God provided finances to do that. He provided help to do that. We didn't have to go in debt to spend all of those thousands of dollars. Remember when we first started down there and we got things torn apart, starting to put things back together, and unbeknownst to me, the church had a water problem with water coming in the foundation, you know, and it's like, oh man, what the heck is going on? All this water coming in. And it was a $5,000 bill to fix it. And it's like, oh, what are we going to do? You know, we did it. We did it. On top of it, you know, being in the middle of a major renovation down there, now we got to fix a water problem, and we did it. And I can enumerate for you time and again how it was and where we've come so far. And you could see the fruits of it. And to think that, boy, you know, the help was there when we needed it. The money was there. And listen, I'm looking out over this congregation, and it's like, yeah, here, Pastor, you know, I got all this money in the bank. I don't know what to do with. Here's a check. How much you need? Now, if there is anybody out there, please see me immediately following the service. But I know there isn't. You know, and so you say, well, how did this happen? Yes, giving of God's people. And the Lord provided. Yes. The Lord provided. You know, just as recent as not too long ago, we had to put another sump pump in down there. We have three sump pumps down there. And two of them, one of them is on a system. And it's like, okay, well, we got to do it. You know, water's coming in. We got to get carpet down there. And so we started it. I talked to the council by faith. We got to do this, you know. And I remember getting a phone call from Patty saying, you know what, we just had a special offering given to the church of, I think it was like about $3,000, something like that. And it's like, wow, we can do it. We can do the sump pump, you know. And we did. And just to say to us, as a church, that bringing this place online, so to speak, you know, we got the sign out there, and we're saying it's temporary because we, you know, eventually, you know, we'd like to do something more permanent, and we got our website up to speed. If you haven't visited us online, you can do that. When people go online now to check us out, so you know we did that and brought us up to speed there. We're doing other things to make us appealing. And we talk about curb appeal. And so we've been talking about, you know, for some time now, the sanctuary project. And this is going to be a great challenge for us as a church, because it's, you know, I hold my breath what's going on here in this place physically. And I don't want to bore you with some details, but it's a sanctuary project that we have to do as a church. We got stuff going on electrically. You know, we got all new underneath us. We have a new electric service, 200 amp service. And now, you know, we all up here is bad. And I don't want to bore you, but it's bad. Insulation-wise, it's dead. It's gone. We're throwing money out the window. Aesthetically, the way that it looks, it's gotta glow. Gotta go. Sanctuary project. And just to say to us that, you know, we need to pray about this. You need to see it along with me. Hey, is this a part of the mission, the vision that God has for us as a church? And that we need to, you know, get in line with what, you know, He's saying to us as we look at these things. And not in the first place say, where's the money going to come from? But in the first place say this: in as much as the Lord helped us this far, He will continue to help us the rest of the way. Come on now. I got to hear something on that one. Come on. He's going to help us the rest of the way.
He is.
We believe that. And you know, we're as you saw, you know, downstairs, it's not like we're putting millions of dollars worth of, you know, the material into the building, this and that. No, because we want to put millions of dollars into ministries, not into sheetrock. But at the same time, boy, we got stuff to do. And John is working on some plans right now. We've been talking about this as we're talking about this, you know, the sanctuary. And man, I'll tell you, it's exciting. It really is exciting to see what the next step that we're going to take, and the Lord helping us with these things. Now, let me close by saying this. Inasmuch as we have a mission, you got a mission. You have a mission. And I'm not talking, you know, it's like we have a mission from God, and I'm not talking Jake and Elroy, right? But we do. We have a mission from God. You have a mission from God, very specifically. And so what does that mean? You know, what does it mean? What does it mean for you? You know, as you look at your life, you say, hey, how do I fit into this? Okay, the picture's been painted, and I'm supposed to be in that picture right there. Okay, what does it look like, you in that picture? Well, let me say, first of all, what it means is for you to take seriously what God wants to do through your life. Take it seriously. God wants to do something through your life. He wants to do something through you. Take it seriously. And the next thing I'll say about that is this. You are more than a resource to God. You are more than a resource to this church. You know? And you hear people talking like that, you know, our resources. You know, and our greatest resources, the greatest resource is you. And I think there's something to be said for that, but we have to be careful with that. We have to be careful with that because you're more than a resource to God. You know, it's like a father looking at his kids as, well, resources to the family business. You know, well, all I see, you know, we got to have more kids because all I see are dollar signs. They're going to be a part of the family business. Now, there are families who operate that way. You know, but it's not business, it's personal. And as much as God uses us and the church uses us and we find a place to be used, right, that God doesn't use us. And we don't want to be party to using people in that sense. You understand? That it's personal in that, you know what, what's God doing with us? You know, what's God doing in your life? How are you growing? You know, we've said that we're the perfect church for imperfect people. But do you know that according to Colossians, where is it? It's in Colossians, another epistle in the Bible, Colossians another chapter 1, the end of the chapter, says that his intention is to make us perfect in Christ. Wow. And so just to say that, And here's the thing that I close this message with, okay? Here's the master key right here to having a sense of what your mission is, getting involved in it, to having a sense where, you know, all of those things in life make sense. You find meaning in those things. Here it is, the Grandmaster Key. can be reduced to one step this morning to look at a little bit differently. And that is this. Make yourself available. Some of you know the story of Isaiah, prophet that God wanted to give a mission to. And this is the way God works. We can find principles in this to apply to all of our lives. God wants to include us in his mission. And he wanted to include Isaiah in the mission that he had for Isaiah's life. And so God gave a call, as we say, to Isaiah to become involved. And when Isaiah heard the call, he said, "Here am I, send someone else." Huh? Here am I what? Send me. You see? What did Isaiah do? He made himself available. And I think that the greatest thing that you and I can do, the first step in finding your mission, the first step in becoming a part of what God is doing, what he wants to do through your life, is saying, "God, I'm available. I'm available, God. I'm available to you. I'm available for you to work in my life, through my life." Amen. Let's stand together in his presence. Thank you for your kind attention. Here we are. Let's pray. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we as a church are grateful that your grace has been on us, on this place. Wow. 58 years. Thank you, God, for those who dedicated this place to the service of Almighty God. Thank you, God, for the various leaders and pastors and faithful people through the years who have given themselves to you to see this place continue to be a gospel witness. And Father, here we are right now, this cold day in March 2014. And we say, we dedicate ourselves. We dedicate this building along with ourselves. We dedicate this church to the glory of God, to the work of God, to the will of God, and to all that you want to do through our lives. Lord, we're available. And we pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.